There's a reason why we say only good can happen to us. You know, we're big here in the house on the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I can't want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quieted waters. He restores my soul. He leads me. And where he leads me is the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even if it looks like I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, when you feel that direction or correction or instruction, your rod and your staff, it comforts me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is what you do. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Only good can happen to me. Only good. Only good. And I'll dwell in the presence, the house of the Lord forever. Everything God has for you, everything, every promise, everything God has for you is somewhere. It's some place. And it's sometime. Everything God has for you. Everything God has for you. We talk a lot and we say the kingdom of God is within us, and I have all things that pertain to godliness and to life and to righteousness. I have all things. I have sufficiency of all things. But Jesus said, he said, seek and you will find, which means it's someplace. Everything is someplace. And Ecclesiastes 3 says that to everything there is a time. To everything there is a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. So your something is somewhere. And your something is some time. And the question then is how do I know when it's time and how do I get there? And I'm speaking prophetically about where we are today and what's taking place. God is the fullness of all things. Or you can say it like this, he is the sum of all things. So what if God is, again, if God is a 10, if God is the number 10, simple math, and you're going through a number 5 trying time or a number 5 sense of uncertainty, no matter what it is you're going through, if you do one thing, if you just believe God, and if you believe God, you'll do what he said. If you just believe God is ordering your steps, no matter what it is, it's going to add up to the sum total because he is the fullness of all things. And this is why. God created all things for his purpose and for his pleasure. He did that. Everything. And religion teaches us outside. Religion teaches us to resist the will and the power of God, so we fall into a lot of trying times and a lot of difficulties that you could really, again, you can replace any trial at any point in any time by faith. You don't have to go through as many things as we go through if you replace that trying time by faith. You might say, what do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you. Thank you for asking. If you make a decision that I'm going to do something, I'm going to step outside the bounds or the boundaries of my ability, my intelligence, or my will, big word will today, then God initiates what needs to be done because of your faith, and then what needs to be done can take place without you having to go through something that makes you call on your faith. Make sense? Sure it does. So you can replace a trial by faith, so stay active in your faith. The word says, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay? So number one, everything, anything and everything is somewhere. If you're waiting or wondering, why is God, what is he doing? Why is he taking so long? What's wrong with me? Well, it's really none of the above. It's just that everything, Ecclesiastes, everything has its time. Everything has its time. And everything is somewhere, someplace. Everything is someplace, sometime. And if we can get there, there it is. Everything. The word says, seek and you will find. Well, if we didn't have to go someplace, if it wasn't someplace, we wouldn't have to seek for it. We wouldn't have to look for it because it's right there. And even though it's there, the equivalent of being able to walk in it or put your hand on it or live by it or be empowered by it means that there's something to believe, there's something to do. Remember, it's faith, attitude, and actions. Those are the three parts. He's given us all things, but there are three parts. And the reason is God wants you to do his will. How many of we've heard that? How many times? God wants you to do his will. Well, actually, it's not as much doing his will as it is. And we all, how many of you believe you are the will of God? You're the will of God because God willed you. He created you. No one chose to be here. God chose that you would be here. We didn't make that choice. So we are the idea of God. We are the thoughts of God. We are the will of God in that we are created. Therefore, we have all been in Christ. Everything and all things are in Christ. Whether they're obedient to Christ or disobedient, all things are in Christ. Everything's in Christ. But everything is somewhere. And if we weren't all in Christ at some given point, then we couldn't be cut off from him. So you've been in Christ. There's nothing for you to have to do to be in Christ. Say, I'm in Christ. I had the honor of baptizing a nephew of mine, and it was a very, very moving time for me because I was baptizing him because he was preparing to die at the age of 24. He had a condition, I believe it's called spinal bifida, if I'm saying that correctly, and if not, I'm not a physician, so forgive me. And a physician went in to do the procedure to help correct the problem and instead worsened it and did something where his brain began to grow inside of his skull larger than the capacity of his skull. So they gave him a death sentence. So I went. We went to Arizona, and I got to baptize him. And what was interesting, unique, and if you think you know, we all have different points and different times where we feel challenged here or challenged there, and certain things make us look and say, we don't have any problems, right? But he said that he was ready to go home. So as I'm baptizing him, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to me and tells me to tell him, and I tell him what God told me. I said, I'm not baptizing you to die, I'm baptizing you to live. So know that God is doing something today. This isn't an end. This is a beginning. So we baptized him, and when he came out of the water, again, this is a young man, 24 years old, with a death sentence. He comes up with the biggest smile on his face, brushes his wet hair away from his eyes, and you could just see this glowing smile on him because he believed the will and the word of the Lord. How schooled in the word, how schooled in the will of God he was, I don't really know because I don't know him well at all. But I was able to see, regardless of the level of trial we think we're going through, the hardship or what's taking God so long or what's going on, there's something so superior to what we want to happen and what we're looking for to happen, and something is about to happen in this house today. And what we want is what we know is best. But even like this young man, and Jacob, if you're watching, God bless you, God love you, I love you, and he certainly loves you, and be expectant of something incredible to continue to happen because God's hand is on you. But the ability to acknowledge God and the will of the Father, regardless of what you're going through, says something to me pretty unique. It tells me that we were in Christ from the beginning. I mean, if it came from him and through him, then how could it be any less? And if it's by him, how can it help but be for him? Everything. And religion has done us so much harm because we've chiseled enemies and we've raged war against things and spirits and entities and powers that really have no authority at all. The Word of God says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And if a man will walk in the way of the Lord, that God will bring everything into the order of his will. Why? Because that's his purpose. I mean, God created everything of him, through him, and to him. So let's think about it for a second. If it's of him, through him, and to him, it's going to have to work out for him. And if you love him, I mean, you really love him, then it's going to work out incredibly well for you. So instead of resisting, if we would surrender and say of the Lord, only good. Only good's going to happen to me. Only good will happen to me. Then something incredible is going to take place, because what you're doing, you're not only coming into agreement with God, but you're acknowledging the time, you're acknowledging the here and the now. You're acknowledging a place and a time. So today, the 91st Psalm is our 23rd Psalm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, remember this, Matt, of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare and from the fowler and from all deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. And in his faithfulness, he is your shield and your buckler. In your trust, he is your shield and your buckler. You'll not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalk in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. O King James, because you have set your affections on him. No evil will be allowed to befall you. No plague come near you. For he'll command his angels and give them charge over you to guard you in all your ways. And by their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread on serpents and scorpions and lions and all those icky things, and you'll tread under them under your foot, because you have held fast to me in love. Bottom line is, only good can happen to me. And there's a generation of people that are awakening in this time. And God has agitated our world. Religious people think it's the devil. Church people think we're in trouble. Believers think there's a huge battle to fight, and there is. There is. I know that's strange coming from me, but there is. But not like you think. And the reason is because God is the sum total of everything. And whether it's 1 and 4 and 5, or it's 1 10 times, or it's 2 5s, or 7 and 3, whatever it is, whatever that trial, whatever that situation, whatever that irritant, whatever, you can't breathe in the morning. You can't wake up and be alive and not be a part of something that God is bringing the equivalent of whatever it is in your life to the sum total of his will. It's impossible. Now, you can be blind to it, and you can try to walk around it. You can't get around it. That's when you bump into it, and your resistance becomes your resistance. But if you believe the nature, you believe the heart, the love, the will, the way of God, then you have to know that of him, through him, and to him means all things have to work out in order for him. But you can't let your mouth contradict your heart towards God. Nor can you let your heart contradict your mouth towards God. Faith, attitude. and action. They're the parts that make us powerful. And the scripture says you will receive power, dunamis, incredible, outrageous, beyond imagination power, after that the Holy Spirit has come on you. And this is what he does. He leads and guides you into all truth, into all truth, into all truth. And truth cannot be compensated by anything. It can't be overcome by anything. It can't be pushed aside, because it's the only thing that's real. The truth is real. Jesus said, I'm real. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the first step is to believe my steps are ordered of the Lord, and I mean that in every regard. So I'm not in trouble. I had someone ask me the other day, am I out of the will of the Lord? And my response is, you are the will of the Lord. But if you don't realize what that means, and it's simple. God created you for his purpose and for his pleasure, and because we came from him. How do we know we're in him? Because he said, if you don't bear the fruit of who I am, then you're cut off. Can't be cut off from something you're not a part of. So we are a part of him, and to remain, it doesn't mean that God casts you off, but what it is God is saying, herein is the Father glorified. Old King James says it like this. Herein is the Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And God is glorified in you bearing much fruit. So come to terms with this. God wants to increase you in every aspect of your life in ways that exceed your imagination. That's why we hear that scripture. He wills to do exceedingly abundantly and above all we know to ask or think. And we hear these scriptures and we talk about them. But Jesus did such an incredible work as a man. And the Word became man and dwelt among us. Only good will happen to me. Say it, only good will happen to me. Only good can happen to me. Because God is the sum total. Say, Christ is the sum total of me, who I am, who I'm created to be, that I am created to be. He is the sum total of all that I am, the fullness of all that I am. There isn't anything that can derail you from the perfect, orchestrated, predestined, the Word calls it, will of the Father. Not anything. But you can doubt it and not see it and be unaware of it. And just as the Son of God stood in the manifested power of God, for the fullness of God dwelt in him in bodily form, the Scriptures tell us, but they did not know him. We believe that the Jews didn't believe that he was God. But I beg to differ. Yes, they did. Yes, they did know he was God. Nicodemus came and said, we know you have come from God. We know. Because we know that no man could do what you do. See, you can know he's God. You can know the will of God. There's a vast difference in knowing the will of God and being overcome by the will of God. Nicodemus said, we know. Had a wonderful discussion with a dear friend of ours just a few days ago, when God did something incredible. And you know who I'm talking about. And it's when we come to the acknowledgement, when we refuse any other avenue except Christ is the all. He is everything. He is the fullness. He is the sum total. So no matter what we go through, what if we stopped contending? What if we stopped asking? What if we stopped wondering and we started believing that only good is happening to me right now? This very moment, only good is happening to me. Even my own will cannot resist me, and I'm going to tell you why. Jesus walked in so perfectly the will of the Father. He was a man. He wasn't like a man. He was a man. And the Word became flesh. God did a wonder just like he did with you. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, but they didn't acknowledge him. And the reason they didn't acknowledge him was because they were afraid they were going to lose their position. They were afraid that their will would not supersede his greatness. They were afraid of losing their position, losing their authority, losing their renown, losing themselves, losing what they held to that was important. Can you imagine looking and knowing, we know you came from, The scribe told him, the Pharisee told him, he said, we know you're a teacher. We all know you're a teacher come from God. All of us know you're a teacher. We know you're a spirit. We know you're sent from God. We know you are. How do we get what you have? How do we make the kingdom our position? And the reason they rejected him wasn't because they doubted he was God. They rejected him because they knew he was God. Because they were afraid of losing themselves. Jesus had the same will that you and I have, no different. Jesus had a human will. He said, I can't do anything of my own. I'm just like you. Where did he get such power, being a man? Oh, I love it when people say, well, I'm not Jesus. Well, I am. I am. As he is, so am I in this world. I didn't make me that way. He did. He said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you. And he abides in me. We either believe fully on one side of the fence and all this chaos that's going on in the world, be it known to you, God is agitating you believers. So you'll stand up in the fullness of who he is and stop playing church and stop fooling around and stop blaming people and stop trying to build your kingdom, but you listen to what the Spirit of the living God has to say, because God is making a point, and it's going to happen over the next 7.5 years. It's going to happen. And the world you live in today will not be the world that you will live in 7.5 years from now. God is doing something because he wills to do it. But the will of God in the earth cannot be known unless he breathes it through you. Jesus had a will. Same. Not like. The same will that you and I have. He had the will of a human. If he didn't have a human will, he could not have overcome the will of humanity. There would be nothing to surrender to. There would be no way we could be overcomers. If he came down as God and overcame as God, then he's God, and there's still that division between man and God. But he became man, and his will was overcome by the will of the Father. And he said plainly, he said, I can't do anything. Know it. I can't do anything. I can do nothing by my will. He said, I judge, and my judgment is accurate. Because I say what I hear, Matthew, I do what I see, and my judgment is accurate because I am, I do the will of the Father. How did he get such power? How do we get power? Where is that thing? What time do you get power? Whatever it is. What time does your family unite? What time does your position? What time does your employment? What time does your mind find peace? What time does your body get healed? What time, where, and when is it? Because the word teaches us, seek and you'll find, so it's somewhere. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that to everything there is a time and a season for everything under the sun. And we serve a timeless God that is all time. So at any given moment, God in his fullness manifests, and I've referred to it for years as time travel. We get from here to there right now, and it doesn't have to take half of your life. It doesn't have to take eons. In a moment's time, I watched a young man in a moment's time. As quickly as I could put his head underwater and bring it up, I watched his countenance change with no resolve from mankind, but the will of the Father. The will of the Father. It's God's will for you to be healed, but that doesn't mean you're going to get healed. Just as it's God's will that no one would perish, but that doesn't mean someone isn't going to perish. It's God's will that everyone would have everlasting life. That's God's will. And you can know God's will. You can talk about God's will. You can pray about God's will. But something happened that Jesus did that gave him the power to do things that you can't do as a human being. And what happened to him is he became overcome by the will of the Father. And he said it. He said it. When he prayed, he said, "Father, if this cup can pass from me," that's the will of a man. The will of a man, Jesus, the will of the human, the humanity part of Jesus said, "If there's any way of getting out of this, that is my will." Jesus didn't do his will. Everything that saved you, everything that set you free, everything that delivered you was not the will of Jesus. Jesus didn't do his will. He did not do his will. We were given a will, but we weren't given a will to satisfy it. We were given a will to resist it. Because it's in resistance. Nature teaches you that. It's in resistance that we are empowered. It's in resistance that we become strong. And God will give you something to resist. And if you bless what God has given, he gave them the tree of forbidden fruit. He gave it to them to keep them empowered. He gave it to them to resist by the will and the word of God. That was their power. You have to have something in a perfect world to resist so you remain powerful, because you cannot resist it by your will. Your will isn't strong enough. You'll never talk yourself into doing the will of God. You'll never talk yourself into overcoming whatever it is you're trying to overcome. You'll never do it, because by the time your brain reaches your mouth or vice versa, you're going to have doubt somewhere in between, and you're going to know it's your will. And our will is not strong enough to satisfy. And you can't want to do his will and do it. You have to know that you are his will, and he created you to be his will. He created you to overcome his will. So when something happens in your life, instead of screaming at the devil or the darkness or spirits or someone or the political leaders that are simply God's instruments to agitate the body of Christ, so we stand up and do what we should have done a long time ago and declare the will of the Father and tell the truth. God told me years ago, I prophesied it over and over, I will make them tell the truth. You know what you're seeing? You're seeing them lying, and we, the church, are standing up now telling the truth, so they're going to have to tell the truth. God is shining his light in a dark place, and the darkness can't comprehend it. God has made it clear over and over and over. When the righteous stand up on behalf of me, not with a cause, God says, "And I will reign and I will rule by my will and by my power." Because the only way the will of God can be made known in the earth is when he's manifesting it through you. Because he's giving you dominion in the earth. You. He could have done it another way, but this is the perfect. As for my God, his way is perfect. This is the way God chose it. He said, "I'm going to give Matthew my will, and if he'll exercise my will, if he will be overcome by my will." How does he do that? He doesn't try to satisfy his own. That's why the word says forgive. Why? Because you don't feel like forgiving. He said, "Bless those that persecute you and say all manner of evil against you." I don't even listen to what people say negative about me anymore, because, well, it doesn't matter why. He told you to do it because, you know, you didn't want to. He told you everything to do, not to make you right, not to make you a good person, not to make you better than you were, because that's still not good enough. He did it so he could empower you, because if you resist your will, you'll be overcome by his. If you resist your will, you'll be overcome by his. And therein is the fight. Now, what kind of fight is that? What kind of battle is that? How tenacious do we have to be in our faith in order to do it? "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. You'll find rest." Word, freedom from contention and warfare. It's not hard. Living the will of God is the easiest thing you will ever do. God gave you a will so you could resist it, because only in resistance, nature teaches you that, only in resistance are you empowered to walk in the will of the Father. It's a gift. It's a gift. But when your doubt talks you into a hardship, that's the battle you fight. Your resistance is resisting you. But when you say of the Lord, this is a day God has made, I'll rejoice. He made it. It didn't show up. It's not just a course. It's a creation. This is a day God has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. I say every day, something really great is going to happen to me. And every day, something really great happens to me. I don't have to see it to know it. I believe it. I fight well because I believe well. And my battle is not by fist or club or sword or brute force, but by the word of the Lord, by the will of God. If I believe to be overcome by the will of God, I will become overcome by the will of God. Jesus had the same will you and I have. But he did what the Father's will was, and he said, if this cup can pass from me, let it be so. He's praying to the Father, if this can go away, make it go away. That's my will. Nonetheless, not my will, your will be done. It's not knowing the will of God that heals you. It's the will of God that heals you. It's not knowing that he wants to. It's not knowing that it's his will to deliver you or to set you free. Knowing his will won't set you free. You know he doesn't want you to sin. You know he doesn't want you to doubt. You know he doesn't want you to fear. And you do it anyway. You bunch of sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if I can be overcome by his will, the great power in Christ was he was overcome by the will of the Father. He didn't know the will of the Father. He didn't just pray the will of the Father. He became the will of the Father. And you can believe that. You can believe that. And God says, here's a great gift. According to your faith, be it unto you. If you'll seek to be overcome by my will, not to know my will, but to be overcome by my will, I'll give you the power to resist your will, and that's the greatest gift I can give you. He said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to resist yourself. I gave you a will not to satisfy it. I gave you a will so you knew how strong you were in me. I gave you a will so you and I could become one. As I am, so are you in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's not knowing the will of God. It's not praying the will of God. It's being overcome by the will of God that empowers you. That's the great resistance, and that's what God is raising up today. So all the shallow waters are making themselves known. All the ugly faces are standing out, pointing their finger at you and your children and asking you what you're going to do. That's not them. That's God. God's asking you, what are you going to do? God's saying, what do you have to say? And screaming at the dark isn't going to change anything. How great is the will of the Father in you? How willing are you to surrender? How willing are you to say, God, to pray by faith? Put yourself there. You want to resist yourself? Say something like, God, I am your will. I'm overcome by your will. Only good can happen to me. No evil can befall me. Things may happen you don't like, but it can't be evil. Only good will happen to me. We need the goodness of the Lord, for this is the victory that overcome the world, their faith and the word of their testimony. Only good's going to happen to me. Only good. Matthew, in your petition before the Lord, in Job 39, God says to Job, in a sense of rebuke, but in that rebuke was resistance, and in that resistance was honor and power and restoration beyond anything it had. And so would we turn back, or would you turn away, or would you turn around, or would you step back? The Lord strengthens the horse. He strengthens the mane of the horse. He clothes him with authority. clothes him with majesty, clothes him with power. He snorts and he claws at the ground and he takes honor in his great strength. And the Lord says, did you do this, Job? And the answer is no. And God says, I did it and I've strengthened you like a horse. And when the horse run from battle, the horse will not run from battle, but the horse runs into the battle, and he is not afraid of the sword. He laughs at it, and he runs straight on, and he runs into the tide. He clashes with the arm of war, and God gives him victory. Shall a man that's put his hand to the plow and made a statement of faith say, someday, because resistance has come, shall we stop? Shall we turn around? Shall we turn away? Shall we go another way? And in any case, when you put your hand to the plow, when you turn back, you become unfit for the kingdom. So what should the man do? Know that it's not the faith that got him there, but the faith it takes to keep him there that will take him through. So it is with you. So stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. For you've not strengthened yourself. You've not made your neck clothed with mane of God's honor and favor. You've not strengthened your legs to walk or to run or to run into battle. But God has given you that strength. So stand. And Matt and Lori, don't stand as two, but stand as one. In singularity of word. In absolution of yes, and in him, amen. Be the confirmation, the will of the Father. For the posture of TBN belongs to the Lord, and the Lord is setting that posture in this season, this time. And it will not be as it was, and it will not be as you pre-adventured that it would be. It will be the venture of God. Turn it into a strength of voice, because God says, I will cause you to tell the truth that is the truth of revelation, the truth of wisdom and the truth of my spirit and my power. Because I, the Lord, have strengthened you to tell the truth. And the truth cannot be resisted. The truth will make itself known and will create and build and establish that which cannot fall, because the truth is the foundation upon which I, the Lord, build all that I do. And all that I say is by my word and by my will. And I will bring it into the fullness of its fruition, and the fruit thereof will not be denied, and it will not be rejected. But there will be those that say, could we and would we have had the faith and confidence, we would not have contended with you so. And upon that you will say to them, you that said as jury and judge, let the Lord make the judgment call, and let us agree together. There is no rebellion in the house of the Lord, but there is cleansing, there is sanctification, and there is purging. When TBN stands in the strength of its honor, it will be known the Lord is honored. And when it bows its knee in humility, it will be known the Lord has bowed it, that he may honor it with strength. For those that bow and fear the Lord, there is no resistance. As there is no contending with their power, for it is not of might, it is not of man, but of my spirit, says the Lord. In all, you won't know the difference, except God is doing a new thing. And God wills to do it through truth on the foundation of his will, overcoming both of you. This is the greatest season of your lives. Father, we give you praise. Love you, we honor you, we thank you, we worship you, we adore and magnify you. You are the Lord present with us, and in you we stand. Jesus said, he said this, he said, I live because of the Father. You know he said that? He said, I live because of the Father. I live because of the Father. Here's a great difference. Jesus did what he created mankind to do. Overcome his will by being overcome of the Father's will. That's where this great empowerment comes from. That's why and how you will know things that you didn't know, see things you didn't see, hear things you didn't hear. And God says, and I will open the ears that they may hear, the eyes that they may see, because seeing they didn't see and hearing they did not hear. But God stood and said, see, hear, and stand. And then before you can see, before an answer comes across the table, that is as it were 12 span and 12 span wide. God says, you will hear my voice, you will feel my presence, and you will know what is to be. Rejoice and bless the Lord as you bring the offering of your faith and your confidence, not waiting for the answer of the Lord, but knowing the answer of the Lord is that his will has overcome yours. And in that, you're assured, exceeding abundant beyond all you know to ask or think, has already begun. It's already taking root, and it cannot be removed. We're called the planting of the Lord, the trees of righteousness. It's not hard. Religion is a lie and it's a deception. But the truth is, when God is for you, there isn't anything in all of creation that can be against you. Matt and Lori, the wings of the Lord are your shadow and your shade. And you'll know days of fervent activity and transformation and change, and feel the least pressure and weight that you have ever felt since the union between both of you. For the Lord's gift is his Spirit, and his Spirit is your strength. And I confer and declare a blessing of God's favor. May the peace of God rest in your home. The joy of the Lord fill you unlike you have ever known. And may you see the hand of the Lord go before you, even as he went before Moses. What do? We stand in the shadow of the Lord, in the fire of his presence. In his fire is transformation. In his fire is illumination. In his fire, things change into what God wills them to be. They become strong in his fire. They look like him in his fire. And in his shade, they are covered. In his shade, they are watered. In his shade, he calls to the fruit of the earth. In his presence is fullness, and the fullness is joy. And Father, we give you praise today. Lord, we thank you for the strength of your word and the power of your might. We thank you, Father, that you're glorified in us, your creation. If heaven was everything you wanted, you wouldn't have made the earth. And if all the host of heaven was all you wanted, you wouldn't have created us. How fearfully and wonderfully made are we. And we bless your name, Lord. It's in being overcome by the will of the Lord that we find the time and the place, the when and the where. This is that time. This is that time. There is no tomorrow. I will say of the Lord, this is the day. Today, this is the day which you have made. And I can't help but rejoice and be glad in you. I'll say of the Lord, you are my God, my fortress, my shield, my buckler. You are my truth, and you do I trust. Lift up my voice in song, and I will say of the Lord, God has said. Caitlin, out of your mouth will come the most profound words of insight, discernment, and prophecy. You will be as a keel on a ship that God is building even today. You'll be the keel of the ship. And at times you'll serve as the sail of the ship. God will blow his Spirit through you. Regard only what God says. Don't even believe what your mind says. Be cautious in what you hear. Stand true to who God has called you to be. You will prophesy a word without trying to prophesy, without positioning yourself. When you're hiding yourself, to be still and quiet and in a corner, the Lord says that corner will be the highlight of the point. For I, the Lord, will shine my light in that corner because I have chosen to put you there. I have chosen you to be as I have chosen you to be, that I will do through you what I have chosen to do. I have made you a secret and no one is known. But I, the Lord, know, and I know what I will do for you. For in your years of adulthood and as you mature into age, you will see the power of insight that will rattle the own commission of your own judgments and your own will, and the Lord will be fruitful through you, and many will say, who? Who? And they'll say, him. And they will say, who? Him. Him? Yes. And listen to what God has said, and the Lord will bring it to pass that God is saying, many have raised themselves up, and many have raised up their children, and many have raised up those in whom they have adopted and called their own, and said, we will put our flag on them, we will make them shine, we will buffer them, we will keep them, we will call to them, we will make them our own, not knowing what they say or what they do. But I, the Lord, have separated you to myself, and I'll do through you what no one has seen, and it will be known that the Spirit of God works in you in ways no one has expected. And God will say, look and see. In your ignorance, you denied me, but I've made myself known, and God will establish you, and you will feel full in the presence of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. God, Lord, we give you praise. We love you. We thank you. Are you ready to pull on heaven today? Pull on heaven 24/7. It's who we are. It's what we do. This is the greatest season of your lives. God is for you. And nothing can be against you. Would you stand with me? Father, we give you praise for your will and your word. We pull upon the heavens of our God and of his Christ. And Lord, we declare and determine today, Jerry, this is your season. This is your time. This is your when. This is your where. This is the moment where God will bring through you and to you more increase than you have known in your entire life. And you will say of God, this is not by the hand of man. It's not even what I prayed. It's what God has chosen to do. This is the will of the Lord. You're commissioned for it. You're called to it. It rests on you. And we declare today that the glory of God, according to the will of the Father. Father, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So let it be according to your will, O God. So let it be heard in the earth, and it will be known. When they have tried to plow your field and plant their seed, the Lord says, it is I who have sown the thorns among them, that the distinguish is clear and it is made known. And I, the Lord, says God, will take away the tares and I will reveal the wheat. Don't be afraid. The earth is mine and the fullness thereof. And I will show the fruit of my will, and my spirit will make itself known. This is the hour and the season of the Lord. Father, we declare, hear, O earth. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. Let the glory of God be poured out. Let the kingdom of God be manifest. Father, be glorified in all that is said and done. For the earth is yours, the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, everyone shouted, yeah!